Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
Strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I mean, to be totally frank, almost every conspiracy theory that people had about Twitter turned out to be true.
They're on to me, dude. Those guys are sharp as nails up there. You can't put anything past them.
Is there a conspiracy theory about Twitter that didn't turn out to be true? So far, they've all turned out to be true.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
A few months ago, I looked at the package insert. I pulled it from the box of mRNA product, and I pulled this out, and this is what it looks like. It's blank.
There's nothing there.
There's no study in the world that shows that masks work that well. You're never going to get the kind of benefit from mandatory year-round masking.
Far they have to reach to go after Biden, which is to go after one of his family members, who's A, not president, B, it's not classy.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242 is the number if you'd like to join us. I'm Taylor Cormier, Howie's executive producer, filling in for the rest of the week on the Howie Carr Show. If you're a fan, welcome aboard. If you're not a fan, maybe we can make you one throughout the week, but we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas, and we have best wishes throughout the week for the new year, of course, and it's going to be a great time. So hopefully we all enjoy the interim here, this lull between Christmas and New Year's. I like this time of year. It's probably one of my more favorite times of year. I just like the camaraderie, the spirit of it all. It's just a great, I mean, usually it's typically slow as far as news weeks are concerned, right? Joe Biden's on vacation for the umpteenth time this year. Not much is really coming out, but Twitter just keeps on rolling out, you know, Twitter file after Twitter file after Twitter file on what's going on. I think we all knew to an extent of what the FBI was doing with Twitter and how the government was kind of asking people to be shadow banned. We didn't know the extent that it went to, where they were directly telling them which accounts to suspend or shadow ban or whatever. But I honestly, it gets to be a lot. You start looking through the Twitter files, there's a lot to go through. A lot of names, a lot of strings here and there. It's a lot to keep up with. I am particularly interested, though, by the latest Twitter files drop, which is Twitter files on COVID. And it's fascinating to me. If you've ever listened to me fill in before over the past couple of years, this has been one of my more passionate topics to discuss is COVID and mandates and regulations. Because they didn't make sense. I mean, the whole couple of years, we were told, you know, this list of things that you must or must not do, but we saw conflicting information out there saying that we could or could not do those things. It was weird. It was just a very strange time. It continues to be a strange time in American history. So it was interesting to go through this. This dropped over the holiday weekend, the Twitter Files COVID edition, how Twitter rigged the COVID debate. This was put out by David Zwig, and he went through it, and we'll go through it throughout the show here to show you just how biased and meticulous and just not caring, actually, a lot of the Twitter execs were when it came to banning people and labeling what they had to say, even if it was just an opinion, as misinformation. Now, the mere definition of an opinion is that this is not a factual statement. It is an opinion. It can't be misinformation if it's clearly delivered as an opinion. And in one of the cases, it was an opinion by a several-time guest to the Howie Carr Show, Dr. Martin Kilduff of Harvard Med School. And it's just really, really astounding how much control Twitter had over the narrative. If something didn't jive between the Biden White House and what one tweet said, that tweet was gone. That account was gone. And it was very interesting how they treated presidents, as they treated Joe Biden versus as how they treated Donald Trump. Because remember, Trump was president when COVID took place initially. And he was a survivor, so to speak, of the COVID virus. And he took to Twitter at one of these points and said, and I remember this tweet, and it was kind of funny to me because I said, yes, that's all we're saying. This is nothing to be afraid of. He tweeted out, you know, don't let COVID control your lives. Don't be afraid of this virus. I'm paraphrasing right now. I'll get the tweet in front of me in a moment here, but we'll find it as we go through. He basically said, I got it. I survived it. Thanks to the great staff at Walter Reed Medical Center. I feel better than I did 20 years ago because of the advances in medicine and science. And he said, don't be afraid of the virus. Don't let it control your life. And it was funny because this is kind of the MO of Trump, right? And say what you will about him. I certainly have and will continue to do so. But he is or appears to be a very optimistic individual. And everything he does or says, whether it's for better or worse, NFT cards, is out of optimism. Or so it seems. And it's a lot of fun going through this stuff. So let's just kind of jump right into it. And if you want to make your comments as well, 844-500-4242. This is the Twitter Files by David Zweig on Twitter. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing Zweig. It really doesn't matter. The United States government pressured Twitter and other social media platforms to elevate certain content and suppress other content about COVID-19. David says Trump and Biden administrations directly pressed Twitter execs to moderate the platform's pandemic content according to their wishes. And he cites an example by the Trump administration pretty early on into the pandemic. Now, if you remember, Dr. Fauci has been, of course, this messiah of science. He is the science. He is the medical factual dictionary, encyclopedia, whatever you want to call him. He is the guy. And he has said conflicting statement after conflicting statement after conflicting statement since February of 2020, since we've been paying attention to him and what he's had to say about COVID. Remember, back then he said masks, you don't have to wear them. They're optional. They may not even do that much against protecting you from this virus. It's not going to do anything. That's, you know, because that's where the caricature came from. Droplets, you know, may stop a droplet from getting through, but really it's not going to do that much to protect you against COVID. So later it came out, you know, through 60 Minutes, I believe he did that interview, and he eventually fessed up to it. Okay, so I said that way back when because we didn't want a run on the masks. We didn't want hospitals, nursing homes, any medical facility to not be able to get the PPE, the personal protection equipment, like masks, and we didn't. Not too many of us knew what an N95 or a KN95 was back then. These were just surgical masks. So they didn't want that prohibited from making its way to the medical facilities that would need them most. Nobody held his feet to the fire on that. He didn't face any kind of social media blockage. I mean, his face was everywhere. Every time he stepped in front of that podium under the Trump administration or the Biden administration, I mean, it was just the views on those things were out of this world. People were quoting Fauci. We've got a Fauci candle somewhere in this office. Fauci merch came about. I mean, this guy really hit it big, and he was on the talking head TV shows every weekend, the Chattering Skull Networks. telling you how dangerous this virus was and how much you need to mask up and comply with all the regulations. Yet he had those, that initial conflicting statement, he was not held to the fire on that. So that brings us to the Trump White House. David Zweig says, at the onset of the pandemic, according to the meeting notes with Twitter, the Trump administration was especially concerned about panic buying. They came looking for, quote, help from the tech companies to combat misinformation about runs on grocery stores. But there were runs on grocery stores. Perhaps this wasn't as well fleshed out a thought as it could have been. And according to the meeting notes from Twitter, the Trump White House, specifically Michael Kratsios, led the Trump administration's calls for help from the tech companies to combat misinformation. Areas of focus included conspiracies around 5G cell towers. I remember that one. Was it the vaccine or the virus was delivered or activated by the 5G tower? I think it was the virus. It activated something in the virus once the 5G was turned on, because that was when 5G was starting to come about into the more mainstream, and COVID kind of came around the same time. People were really scared of that. Runs on grocery stores as a matter of disinformation and misinformation that could stoke panic buying and behaviors. Now, the truth is there were runs on grocery stores. We all remember them. You couldn't get, you know, things like toilet paper or paper towels, Windex you couldn't find, any disinfectant you could not get for months because people had stocked up. They were hoarding this stuff. So the Trump administration wanted to kind of downplay these stories. And, you know, whether that's ethical or not, that's for you to determine. But it's certainly not an unreasonable request to want to kind of downplay something like that in order to prevent more panic buying. But you compare that to how the Biden administration was treated by Twitter and how seriously they took their requests into account. I mean, that was one of the only communications from the Trump White House to Twitter about this. They just wanted, you know, some really out there conspiracy theories like 5G cell towers activating the virus to kill you and panic buying. They wanted to get ahead of that. Unfortunately, they were behind. But when the Biden administration took over, said David Zweig, one of their first meeting requests with Twitter executives was on COVID. The focus was on anti-vaxxer accounts, especially Substack's Alex Berenson. One of the first meeting requests from the Biden White House was about COVID misinformation. Per regulation process, public policy took the meeting. Biden's staff focused on vaccines and high-profile anti-vaxxer accounts, including Alex Berenson. And one of the Slack chats, you know, this app that was kind of security beefed up. Overall, pretty good, said one of the Twitter execs. They had one really tough question about why Alex Berenson hasn't been kicked off from the platform. This was after a meeting with the White House. Otherwise, their questions were pointed but fair, and mercifully, we had answers. A December 2022 summary of meetings with the White House by Lauren Culbertson, Twitter's head of U.S. public policy, added new evidence of the White House's pressure campaign and cements that it repeatedly attempted to directly influence the platform. Trump wanted to have Twitter kind of get ahead of these stories and not send people into a panic. Biden just wanted to shut people down altogether. There is much, much more to this, and we'll get to all of it and take your calls as well at 844-500-4242. But first, we've got to say we're excited that the original My Slippers are back in stock. Howie has got a pair. He loves them. The slippers are the number one selling MyPillow product, and now they've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, all new colors. And the best part, when you use promo code Howie, you'll save $90 a pair for what Howie calls heaven for your feet. Their exclusive patented four-layer design makes these slippers ultra comfortable, extremely durable, and they'll help relieve stress on your feet as well. They're designed to wear indoors and out all day long if you want. You'll absolutely love my slippers. Now they're extending their 60-day back money guarantee until March 1st, 2023, making them the best holiday gifts ever, even if you're a late buyer like so many of us. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Howie, or call 800-658-4965. Save $90 on the original My Slippers. That's only $49.98 a pair with code Howie. Quantities won't last long, so order yours now. Go to MyPillow.com and don't forget the code Howie. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
The Howie Carr Show will be back in a bit. The paperboy is going to make a few edits on his latest Herald column.
You want to break into my kind of racket? This is the lousiest game there is. You can risk your hide to get a good shot, and the city desk may stick it on page 10, if it's used at all.
Okay, Howie's not as big on holiday traditions as some people.
The most enduring traditions of the season are best enjoyed in the warm embrace of kith and kin. The three are the thimble of the spirit of the Griswold family Christmas.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by HelloFresh. This holiday season, I'm letting HelloFresh take the hassle out of dinner with delicious recipes and more sent right to my door. Plus, their festive eats seasonal recipes make holiday entertaining a snap. Get 21 free meals plus free shipping with code Howie21 at HelloFresh.com/Howie21. Jared, what's today's poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you consider yourself a conspiracy theorist?
I do, yes.
Only 28% of the audience says
really?
Yes. 72% say no.
By that, I mean the conspiracy theorist. I'm not talking about tinfoil hat like reptilians are running the White House. That's a fact. But that's a joke. That's a joke. Don't send me letters. But I mean,
that's just what a lizard person would say.
Yeah, exactly. Even Elon Musk says conspiracy theories are out there, and he's proving them day by day. Let's play that cut. This is from a podcast he did, Cut 8.
I mean, to be totally frank, almost every conspiracy theory that people had about Twitter turned out to be true. So, like, is there a conspiracy theory about Twitter that didn't turn out to be true? So far, they've all turned out to be true. And if not, more true than people thought.
Yeah. I mean, if you thought that your account was getting fewer follows and your tweets weren't getting as many as engagements, you were probably a victim of shadow banning to some extent. And I'm sure that'll all come out, and maybe we'll see some sort of Twitter reimbursement for that, not shadow banning, but shadow bumping, perhaps. Get more exposure to tweets for a certain amount of time. Sort of a, I don't know. Just a repayment for lost time. 844-500-4242. Eddie, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, Taylor, since you're talking about those corona restrictions not making sense, the only thing that made sense to me was the one-way aisles. Now, you don't want to be running up and down Market Basket and running into the same people twice. So with the one-way aisles, you know you won't see them twice.
All right, so Eddie, Let's think about this critically. When do you spend less time walking near somebody? When you're walking in the opposite direction of them, or you're walking in the same direction as them?
Well, we're saying seeing them twice. Now, if they walk in the opposite way, you'll see them again.
What? I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand. Why are you seeing them twice? Are you stepping into a vortex or something?
You only see them go in one direction. If they can go in any direction they want, they can come back at you.
So why is it just that one person that you're worried about? But because you're going to see all kinds of people on every different aisle. I don't understand your point of contention.
It's not a contention. Well, enjoy the rest of the year, man.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's to me, that was one of the policies that made the least amount of sense. I've explained this before. If you're walking next to somebody, it's going to take longer, a few milliseconds longer to pass them than it would if you're walking the opposite direction of them, where it's just an instant. It doesn't make sense to me. And 844-500-4242-207. I always believed that was the only time Fauci told the truth, when he said masks weren't needed. Yeah, and so do I. And guess what? So did Dr. Ashish Jha, the COVID White House director, is saying masks don't work. We'll get back to that later on. We'll be right back. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Whether you're making big changes this new year or just settling back into a consistent routine, chances are you could use some audio accompaniment on your journey. I know that for me, it's crucial. A good pair of wireless earbuds is indispensable in 2023. And for premium audio at the perfect price point, you've got to go with Raycon. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable. And they will not budge. Trust me, Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, and they're priced just right. With Raycons, you can get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder that their everyday earbuds have over 55,000 five-star reviews. Now's the time to check them out for yourself. Go to buyraycon.com/Howie today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/Howie to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. I did tease it, so I do want to play the cut. This is Dr. Ashish Jha. He is the COVID director, the coordinator for the White House. And here he is during a public meeting, I guess, some Zoom meeting, but it was screen recorded. I'm not sure. I think this was publicly available. But he said what has been said by many conspiracy theorists for the past few years. Cut 7.
There's no study in the world that shows that masks work that well. So you're never going to get the kind of benefit from mandatory year-round masking as you would from making substantial improvements in indoor air quality. But it's a lot easier to implement as well.
Talking about upgrading air quality systems in places like schools and things like that. But yeah, masks don't really work that well. It's something I think we all knew from the get-go. These stupid little coverings with gaps on the sides, and everybody's wearing cloth ones that didn't do anything to begin with except make you look stupid. Didn't work. Anyway, it's time for Grace's News.
Yeah, Taylor, I was just listening to your opening, and you were talking about the back and forth. I spent a lot of time on this today, too, because I found it pretty amazing, the back and forth between Jim Baker, formerly of the FBI, and then he worked for Twitter. He doesn't any longer. But when he was going back and forth with Yoel Roth and another woman at Twitter and complaining
on
about
Trump's tweets,
Trump's tweet about being at Walter Reed and don't be afraid of COVID, don't let it dominate your life. And you said, you know, say what you want about Trump, but he's very optimistic. And I think the reason Trump is optimistic, and I do agree with you, is the same reason that he would focus his attention on media people and prominent Democrats rather than Americans, rather than liberal Americans who didn't agree with him. And it's because Trump's ego makes him feel, and I don't say this as an insult, It makes him feel like anything is possible. He could always win a voter over. He's never going to give up on a voter because he could win them over. And in the same sense, he's never going to let something dominate his life or dominate your life while he's president, because we're going to find a way around this. We're going to find a way to fix it. I'm going to bring in the best people. And that's kind of that entrepreneurial success that he's had, is because he always thinks there's a solution. Even when he went up on the stage, and he got a lot of grief for this, people still bring it up, and talked about the Lysol injecting bleach, and you know, people never forget that quote. And it was a stupid thing to say, but when you really boil it down, he's the kind of guy who goes into a meeting and wants to find a solution and starts spitballing. And you can't do that when you're president.
He also likes to get a laugh, which I think that's what mostly motivated that.
Yeah,
that
but moment. I think a big part of him likes to get up there and he likes to find solutions. And so when he was telling people, don't let this dominate your life, don't be afraid, we found a lot of good drugs for this, we've made a lot of progress, the eternal optimism is from him feeling like, we're the best, I'm the best, we're going to find a way around this.
Right, and it doesn't make sense to dwell on the what-ifs, the what could happens. What if this goes wrong? If you're focused more on a right outcome and the best possible outcome, chances are that's what's going to take place. You can work towards trying to prevent anything that would prevent anything other than that. But yeah, it's just better to be more optimistic, I find.
Yeah, in most situations. I also wanted to talk a little bit about this New York representative-elect, congressman-elect, George Santos. I don't really want to get too much into the lies from his resume, unless you guys want to talk about that. But he...
Not too many Jewish Santoses, I found.
Yeah, he said he didn't lie that he was Jewish. He said he was Jew-ish. And so that makes it... Yeah, there was a lot of things that I don't understand why he thought he'd get away with it, considering we do have that thing called the internet, thanks to Al Gore. But a more interesting conversation, I think, is now Democrats are asking him to resign, which I just find amazing, because if you want to talk about resume embellishments, there's no one who's more guilty of this than Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Lies about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think George Santos should resign.
But we spent, at least an hour on Friday during Friday's show going over Biden's big...
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Big lies. And we could have spent the whole show doing that.
Yeah. And they're no better or no worse than George Santos's. They're the same. I mean, a lie is a lie is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lie about these things, when you lie about small things, you'll probably lie about big things. But this is the Democrats' game. Like, if it's okay for you to lie about things and become president, then George Santos should stay where he is.
Did we ever find out where his money came from? Because he was pretty cash poor when he first announced at the beginning of his candidacy, I think in 2020 it was. He said he only really had $5,000 in liquid assets. But then 2 years later, he's contributing over $500,000 to his campaign.
I don't know that.
They said he had a company that he started in Florida, I believe. But an analysis of that showed that only about $50,000 in revenue was realized.
Yeah, he took a lot of... He took a lot of creative license with his resume. Like when he told people that he worked for two major companies, Goldman Sachs and Citicorp. He said, you know, he worked for both of these places.
I did work for them. I mean,
technically,
I didn't work there. I was employed by.
And so technically, because he worked at a company called Linkbridge that did do business with both of those financial giants. I guess, you know.
I mean, it's like, you know, you're in high school and you're looking to get your first job and you go to the place that you think is going to be the coolest job at the mall or whatever that you want. And you kind of put a little qualifiers in there that you may not, you know, excellent at customer interaction.
I actually did apply for a job at the mall when I was in high school. I wanted a job with a clothing store that shall remain anonymous. And
let me guess. Hold on. Hollister.
No.
Abercrombie?
No.
I probably
didn't. I didn't shoot
Forever,
that high.
Forever 21?
I didn't shoot that high. I didn't think I was Abercrombie material. No, it was called Delia's. It was like this little shop. It had, you know, clothes I liked. And I actually did a group interview at the mall. I remember it was right outside the food court.
A group interview?
Yeah, with like five other people. I didn't get the job. I was bummed out.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
What is this, Survivor?
I also don't know what I said that... Maybe the economy was in a tough spot. Maybe, you know, it wasn't a great time. Jobs were tough at that point. It probably wasn't me as much as it was just the situation.
Mm.
Anyway, moving on from George Santos onto something that hasn't really gotten a lot of coverage and not a lot of outrage has been given to this story. Whoopi Goldberg is once again making incendiary comments about the Holocaust, which is showing a lot of people that despite, you know, her apology...
She can go work on George Santos's next campaign.
She has learned nothing when it comes to her comments. These ones I actually might even say, I don't know if you'd say they're worse than the first ones, but she said, it doesn't change the fact that you could not tell a Jew on a street. You could find me. You couldn't find them. That was the point I was making, she said. But you would have thought that I'd taken a big old stinky...
Why are we looking for Jews on the street?
Well, she was talking about during the Holocaust.
Oh, okay.
And talking about how the Holocaust, according to Whoopi Goldberg, was not about race, which if you talk to, you know, people with expertise in Judaism, they will tell you that it was. It was about racial purity. But because she thinks that race can only be about black people and white people and the color of your skin, she doesn't think that the Holocaust was about race. But the even stranger part of that comment is at the end, she says, that was the point I was making. So she's she's trying to justify comments she made earlier this year that got her in a lot of trouble with ABC and with Disney. And then she says, but you would have thought that I'd taken a big old stinky, I'll use the word poop, on the table, butt naked.
Nobody needed that image, Whoopi.
I know, and I thought about not saying it, but it just felt like an important quote.
What was it that brought this on again? Why is she rehashing this? Was this a year in review on Twitter for Whoopi? She wanted to go over the biggest stories in her life?
This is actually in an interview with the UK paper, the Sunday Times. But again, we see this outcry about anti-Semitism when certain celebrities say certain things, but Whoopi Goldberg seems to get a pass. There, I have seen nothing today, you know, aside from a few people on Twitter, some conservative media people. I don't see any celebrities posting infographics or stop anti-Semitism. This is anti-Semitic.
I don't know how can she go on in her life and not realize that the Holocaust was indeed about race. I mean, there were caricatures of Jewish people in German papers and meant to derive these feelings of hatred and disgust. You can't really caricature somebody's looks because of their religion unless they're wearing something.
Yeah, and they didn't care if you were a practicing Jew. Like they didn't care if you were religious. They cared about the racial purity. And no, you're right, Taylor. And beyond that, it just shows that despite the fact that all of these organizations have reached out to her, they all wanted to, you know, get her informed on this topic. She has not learned anything. She continues to spew this stuff that is just nonsense. And there's no real pushback. I mean, ABC's not going to do anything about it. What, they suspended her for like 10 days and then they brought her back. And she clearly still thinks she was right.
We know people that have gotten fired because they went through this diversity training and then they still didn't stick with it. So why not Whoopi?
I don't know, but it's incredibly offensive, and I really do hope that she just gets educated on this, because you look at, what was a really good point? There was a really good story in Red State that was talking about this, and it brought up the fact that in the quote she brings up herself. So in the context of the Holocaust, she brings up herself. She says, you wouldn't recognize, I'm just going to read it one more time because I think this was an interesting take. It says, it doesn't change the fact that you could not tell a Jew on the street. You could find me, you couldn't find them. That was the point I was making. And I can't give credit, I don't remember who wrote this in Red State, but the writer said, it's this kind of like victim mentality of like, oh no, my victimization is actually worse than the people who were killed in the Holocaust. Like that's what we're trying to do now. I'm more of a victim than the Jews in the Holocaust. That's where we're at now in 2022.
Everybody tries to do that. Everybody needs to be a special case.
Absolutely. Tux Trucks GMC is your Fisher Plow distributor in Hudson, Mass. If you need a plow for your half-ton pickup, check out the Fisher EZV. It's lightweight but built strong to handle the demands of a New England winter. So check it out at TuxTrucksGMC.com. One more story for you, Taylor, that I wanted to get your take and maybe Jared's take on as well, is that did you see that Avatar 2 is continuing to just kind of fizzle out at the box office?
It brought in, what, about a fifth of its total budget during the first weekend, which I think was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so this is the second weekend, and it's dropped by 58% in the second weekend. It has to bring in anywhere between $1.5 billion to $2 billion just to break even, and right now it's grossed $881 million.
Oh, boy.
So it could get there, I guess.
It was a sequel that nobody asked for. Right? I didn't need to see an Avatar. I didn't need to see Avatar 1, but I didn't need an Avatar 2.
I never saw Avatar 1. I have this thing with movies where if it can't happen in real life,
oh,
I'm not interested.
Really?
Yeah, same with scary movies. Like if you showed me I wonder if anyone else feels this way. If you showed me a scary movie about ghosts or aliens or anything like that, I might get scared in the sense of if they're like, jump out at you, but I'm not going to be scared later on. I'm not going to think, oh, that's probably going to happen. But if you show me Silence of the Lambs, that's something that could plausibly happen to someone. So that scares me more.
So like Lord of the Rings,
no interest.
Star Wars,
no interest.
Star Trek,
no interest.
Nothing.
Harry Potter, no interest. Nothing with fairies.
The superheroes.
Or aliens or magic or superheroes. No, anything.
Independence Day.
Nope, never seen it. Anything that couldn't happen, I can only suspend my disbelief so much, you know?
Yeah. But that's kind of what movies are all about, escapism.
I know, and even things, I know I'm going to sound really crazy, but even things like Christmas movies where it's, you know, the Santa Claus or...
The Santa Claus?
Elf.
All right.
I'll watch those, but it's pushing the limit for me. Does anyone else feel this way? Please text in. Am I the only one?
I think it's highly plausible that a child could crawl into Santa's bag and grow up at the North Pole.
Yeah, but you also are a Star Trek fanatic, so you clearly can suspend your disbelief.
A kid's crawl. I'm saying. Happens.
I don't know. A movie's a movie. It's got to be good. Even if it's on a fantastical scale, it's got to be good. It doesn't. And my big issue is that things get too preachy these days. So, like Avatar 2, I'm sure it has a big message, and it was undermined by its own presentation of this white savior complex.
I don't even know enough about it.
They're calling it Blue Savior Complex now online.
Blue Savior.
Is the Avatar.
That makes sense.
Blue.
All right. Thank you, Grace.
Thanks, Taylor.
844-500-4242. The holidays are here. Howie is savoring every moment this vacation. He's chefing it up in his luxurious spread in Palm Beach. How? He's got the help of HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers chef-crafted recipes right to his door so he can skip the trip to the grocery store and spend more time celebrating the season with those he loves. And I've used it, too. It's extremely convenient. Their quick and easy 20-minute meals are simple enough for the kids to pitch in and help. Harrison's a little young, but he does enjoy helping his mother bake in the kitchen. He likes putting his hands in the flour and the dough. So it's let that be a warning to anytime I bring in bread next time, Harrison may or may not have had a hand in helping make it. But with HelloFresh, everything is perfect. He could certainly help with that. Over 35 weekly recipes to choose from. There's always something new to try, and they've got some great menus coming up. I was checking them out earlier today. If you're preparing for any football parties or anything like that, they've got apps and everything to help spice up your party a little bit more. Take it from the mundane chicken wings and the mozzarella sticks and up your game. Really give people something to look forward to. You can even change your delivery days or address to align with holiday travel plans with a few simple taps in the HelloFresh app. Get started today at HelloFresh.com/Howie21 and use code Howie21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. That's code Howie21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping at HelloFresh.com/Howie21. We'll be right back. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is the Howie Carr Show.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network. His fluency in dead languages is unmatched.
Sex, mentis, incendium, gloria, culpum, etc., it's all there, black and white, clear as crystal.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. I just want to read the exchange between Jim Baker, who is one of the Twitter execs, deputy general counsel at Twitter, with Yoel Roth and Stacia Cardiel, about the Trump tweet after he recovered from COVID. He said, "I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m. I guess I should do this as Trump, I suppose. It's been a while. I'll be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m. feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed under the Trump administration some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago." So Jim Baker saw that and he immediately, this was October 5th at 2:37 p.m. In 2020 that Trump tweeted that. And they're on California time, I guess, Jim Baker, because this is 12:10 p.m. But he says, "Why isn't this POTUS tweet a violation of our COVID-19 policy, especially the don't be afraid of COVID statement?" And Yoel Roth sent back. He said, "Hey, Jim, in short, this tweet is a broad optimistic statement. It doesn't incite people to do something harmful, nor does it recommend against taking precautions or following." This is interesting because Yoel Roth actually changed the policy a few months later, to this exact policy of inciting something. so that they could take Trump off of Twitter. Nor does it recommend against taking precautions or following mask directives or other guidelines. It doesn't fall within the published scope of our policies. Curious whether you have a different read on it, though. So I guess it wasn't taken down, but there was serious concern just because it was Trump putting something out and especially saying, don't be afraid of the virus. There were definitely reasons if you were of a certain age or a certain comorbidity status that you should have had some trepidations about the virus. But he was saying you're in good hands if you have the proper medical care. We'll get more into this and take your calls coming up after the top of the hour, 844-500-4242. This is the Howie Carr Show.